Welcome to the Penguin Magic Podcast. I'm your host, Eric Tate. Nick LaCapo is out this week because he is performing at the Magic Castle. Don't worry, though. I've crawled back into my archives and pulled out an interview from Magic Live with Langdon Stark. We discuss his unique business model of farming out gigs to other magicians and performing magic for the Real Housewives. Before all of that, we're going to kick things off with one of our quickfire segments. This time is when your favorite magicians tell me the magic they never leave the house without. This week, Cody Clark pops back onto the show to share with me the magic that's actually in his pockets with the Everyday Carry. Cody Clark, thanks so much for joining me here on the Penguin Magic Podcast for the Everyday Carry. All right, you're going to go out to meet some friends for coffee, or you're going grocery shopping, or you just have to leave the house, but you're a magician, so we both know you never leave the house without a couple of tricks in your pocket. Cody, what's your Everyday Carry?
Well, I don't know if anyone's ever actually literally taken out the contents of their pockets before.
Not on this show. This is the first time anyone's ever taken the contents of their pockets out.
Well, I'll be the first. I'll inaugurate that honor. Hopefully a tradition starts.
Excellent.
Well, I'll start with the quickie. If I sense that I only have a little bit of time, but someone is in the magic mood, mm-hmm. especially if we had that back and forth combo like happens when I'm on the road where I learn about them, mm-hmm. their shop, and I tell them why I'm here, I'll pull out my TCC Locking Z Fold, which I have set up for Michael Amar's business card torn and restored restoration.
That's a great trick.
Yeah, great way to give out your business card quickly, mm-hmm. and I've been surprised at how many people take it literally when I'm like, someone tore it up. Mm-hmm. People legit get mad, and I was like, I didn't think people would actually be that into the plot.
Yeah.
But essentially, since it's locking, you can handle it openly, and then you have them wave, mm-hmm. and it's kind of like I was saying earlier with the Henry Evans Rising card. Mm-hmm. They do it, yeah. and then you get to hand them your card, and you all get to go about your merry way.
That's a great trick. And, you know, that, I mean, I can tell how much you've done it because just looking at that wallet, it's almost time for a new one.
Yeah, they wear out quickly.
Yeah.
But either that or we need to work on a new Z Fold.
Yeah. Well, I can neither confirm nor deny that we're working on a new Z Fold, but it's a testament to how much you do it, because that's clearly a great way for you to give your cards out. So what else is in your pockets there, Cody?
Well, in my back pockets from Savannah, Georgia, I got a really neat coin wallet that I carry a few different coin type things in, starting with Nick DeFott's P.O. box.
Oh, a wonderful, wonderful coin gimmick design that is disguised as a bottle cap, but a really great trick. And Nick DeFott's work on P.O. box is brilliant.
Yeah, I 100% agree, and I also like that this is a quickie if someone sees the business card thing and wants a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And it also got me out of my comfort zone with misdirection, because mm-hmm. it makes your misdirection good enough for them not to want to grab this and see the permanently glued coin on the other side.
Yeah, it's Nick's routines are really, really well thought out, and it's just a fun prop to play with. So well, what else are you carrying in there?
Oh, I got four halves, and then one of them has an expanded shell.
Of course. Yeah, you got to be able to do your coins across when at the drop of a hat.
And you'll also love seeing...
You're carrying Ultra Lucky Coin as your everyday carry? All right, that's it. That's you're officially the best podcast guest I've ever had on here. I love it. Are you doing the Ultra Lucky version, or are you doing the fine print version?
I'm doing the Ultra Lucky version.
That is the correct answer, Cody. Thank you very much.
Well, yeah, that one is such a classic, a modern classic.
I've been very fortunate with the way the community has responded positively to it. I also see that you've got version one. The yellow one is hard to come by these days. So
I didn't know I had a rare commodity on my hands. That was from two times ago you lectured in Louisville. Last time you lectured in Louisville, I was out of town for a gig. So This was the time before early 2010s.
Louisville is one of my favorite places to lecture. You guys have a really good club down there.
Yeah, we have a really innovative club that's daring to ask, how can we be more than just a once a month lecture?
Yeah, it's fantastic. Well,
The last thing I'll mention, I think it's logical for magicians to have a gimmicked wallet as their wallet. Mm-hmm. And I'm also lucky enough to be near JMB Magic in New Albany.
Yep.
And this is the FPS wallet.
Yep. Brent Braun's FPS wallet is a fantastic card to wallet. It's got a lot of great properties in it. Wow. That is a lot of stuff to carry, but it looks like it doesn't take up very much space. Well, Cody Clark, those are some fantastic everyday carries. Thanks so much for joining us here on the podcast.
Anytime.
Thanks so much to Cody for being on the show. If you want to hear more about his magic with the message and how he shares his story of being on the spectrum, go check out his episode. It's only a few weeks ago. You know you're going to love it. On to the main event. Langdon Stark is a Dallas-Fort Worth-based magician who has a fascinating business model that has led him not only to perform to work as a performer, but as something of a booking agent for other magicians. He's been hired by some of the biggest companies in the world, and he's performed for some of the most recognizable brands in the country. I got some time with him at Magic Live, and now you get to join our conversation. Landon Stark, thanks so much for joining me here on the Penguin Magic Podcast. We're here at Magic Live, and this is very exciting.
Thanks for having me, Britannia. It's good to be here. It's good to be alive.
So we've become friends over the last couple of days. We met in the Mardi Gras bar, and then the main reason you're on the podcast right now is that you brought me coffee in the booth. If anyone wants to know how to get on the Penguin Magic Podcast, bring us coffee in a dealer's booth. No, I want to talk to you because you're Dallas-Fort Worth's number one magician, and I think your business model is interesting because I've only heard of a few other people talking about it. Tell our listeners about what you're doing in Dallas.
Yeah, so Dallas is the eighth largest city in the United States. It's really cool because it's a big city feel, but a small town. You can get around, you can do stuff, you can do shows. We have a lot of celebrities locally that are there. Dallas Cowboys, of course. Mm-hmm. And you got Austin, which is spitting distance away. So it's kind of nice to be a big fish in a big pond. And I have other magicians under me that I farm out and do shows. And so I can kind of pick and choose which events I want to do. Mm-hmm. And of course, we were talking earlier, October through December is kind of a magician Super Bowl where that's where a lot of magicians make their bread and butter, mm-hmm. is that, you know, 3 month span.
Yeah.
And so I get to choose which events I want to do in those months. And then the rest of the year, I work on some passion projects, but I also perform and I'm a comedy magician, so I'm mm-hmm. constantly writing and elevating, and I work on posters for other magicians. And
that's if you check out Landon's social media, like the artwork on it is amazing. It's really, really, I mean, your branding is very strong and really, really
thank you,
visually fun to look at.
Thank you. Yeah, I try to be abstruse and different and kind of stand out from the crowd. Mm-hmm. I loathe magicians with their old school posters from mm-hmm. the 70s, and they're holding cards over their face, yeah. you know, or the mentalist, they always touch their heads like they have a headache.
Yeah.
That's passé, that's been done. And so I'm trying to make it a little bit more profound and try to help other magicians with their marketing mm-hmm. and their posters. And because, anybody can do a double lift,
yeah.
But getting booked is a whole another bag of worms.
Let's talk about that. So I think one of the fascinating things that you said is that you farm out a lot of work to other magicians, but these are like magicians who work for you. Now they're not like your employees. They're like 1099. They're contractors, right?
Correct.
But
correct.
You almost like run your own booking agency where people are coming to you and then you're giving it out. How did you end up there? Because I know I work with a couple of guys in Columbus who are killing it and they'll throw me work, but you have like when you go to starkmagic.com,
absolutely,
there's the stage show and then there's birthday parties. And like, I know your magic, you don't strike me as a dude doing birthday parties, right? Which no shade to people who do birthday parties, but you have like an act and a brand identity, and that's not what I would associate with someone doing birthdays.
Correct. With starkmagic.com, shameless plug, yep. Check us out. I have, it's all of a la carte. Like I have mm-hmm. a birthday party magician, I have a balloon twister, I have a face painter.
Yeah.
Obviously they have their own lives and careers, but I will send them to those specific events mm-hmm. depending on, you know, what comes up. Mm-hmm. I just performed for the Real Housewives of Dallas.
We're going to come back to that because I need to know what it's like being the preferred magician for a Real Housewives show.
Banana pants. Exactly yeah. what yeah. it sounds like. Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot, but it's fun.
How do you choose these magicians that you're for your booking agency?
Absolutely. I usually vet them out. I go to their shows and kind of see their content, and I look at their online content as well. And mm-hmm. I make sure they're very vetted. And they've been in the business quite a while. I have quite a few under mm-hmm. me, and sometimes they are my opening act.
Yeah.
Sometimes I hook them up with tandem shows, you know, mm-hmm. like a circus variety show type thing.
Gotcha.
So it's nice to have that Rolodex of magicians that you can just throw out.
And when the customer calls you, like Stark Magic looks very much like it's just Landon, right?
Correct. So how do you handle that pivot with the customer who's calling because they see the client list, they see that you've been on like NBC and ESPN and a lot of different shows, and then you're pivoting them towards somebody else. How do you handle that?
Correct. You got to kind of hide the medicine in the mashed potatoes, so to speak. Mm-hmm. You don't want to do a bait and switch. Like if they want Landon Stark, the magician, and they can afford me, mm-hmm. perfect. Yeah. In post-COVID, a lot of people, different rates per show. If they mm-hmm. have a specific rate, I can kind of mm-hmm. guide them in the direction for the best entertainer.
Yeah.
While it may not be me, I have my trusted employees mm-hmm. that I can send out and do shows. So it's kind of nice because I can kind of work around their budget. So yeah. whatever their budget is, because a lot of times, there's one is a story. Mm-hmm. A gentleman contacted me and he said, "Hey, will you do my daughter's birthday party?" And I said, "Sure, sure." Mm-hmm. Like, what's the event? What's the date?
Yeah.
And it was a nominal amount he had in mind. And he's like, "Well, what's your rate?" And I think at the time it was like $1,000 for a birthday party.
Yeah.
He wrote me a long diatribe, a long message back, and he goes, "I will spend the rest of my life learning how to do magic so I don't have to hire you for $1,000. And I was like, wow.
Wow.
That was a lot. That was a lot. I didn't respond back, and it kind of hurt me. I was like, maybe I'm too much. But then, if he would ask the right questions, like, what is your budget? I do have another guy I can hook you up with. But I just let that guy go because I want to see him at Magic Live next year.
I do want to see somebody who aggressively pursues the art of magic.
Out of
vengeance for your pricing model.
I think that's how the Joker was made. He was probably a kid's birthday party clown, and he.
So tell me about the Real Housewives of Dallas, because the Real Housewives shows are a guilty pleasure because it's just fantastic. How did you end up doing that gig, and what was that like?
Yeah, so a booker contacted me a few months before and said, "Hey, at this ritzy hotel in Dallas, we're gonna do a pink party." And this was obviously before the Barbie movie came out and all that.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what to expect, but I bust in there and they had a DJ and catering. We're talking probably $100,000 event. I mean, it was nice to mm-hmm. the T, like everything. They had a life-size Barbie doll box. It was a step and repeat where you can take photos, and
so good.
It was amazing.
Yeah. I just love the fact that like right now as we're taping this, like the Barbie movie just crossed $1 billion.
Yes.
And this is back well before anyone was even thinking about making a Barbie
movie. Exactly. And there was so much Botox in that room, mm-hmm. But they were nice ladies, and I performed, and since then I've been booked over and over from them, so it's been really nice.
When you're performing for them, is it between takes, or is it like a part of the show? Like they're bringing in a magician to cause chaos between these interesting characters, shall we say?
Yeah, so they did film some of it. I don't mm-hmm. know if it actually. I think. As of now, the show, I don't know if it still exists, but they have their own social media. So I was definitely on the social media aspect mm-hmm. Where they filmed it. But it was nice, seeing them in person and performing. They're actually lovely ladies, despite the vitriol and the hate on the show.
I mean, it's a reality show, but it's also highly produced. Like, let's all be honest, like reality shows are sort of semi-scripted.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're getting close to being out of time, and also I have to go open the dealer's room.
Absolutely.
But what advice would you, I mean, you are clearly very business savvy, and I think there's a lot of people who come up to me at conventions and they ask like, how can they, make their business better? And there's not a ton of resources out there for improving their business, but like, what advice would you give to somebody who's looking to step up their game in and become financially successful in a magician, like a working pro who's making their own money? What advice would you give to the average listener who's looking to do that?
I would just say put in the hours, mm-hmm. do the reps. I would also say shadow somebody that you admire and their business model.
Yeah.
For me, growing up, I went to Tannen's Magic Camp when I was young. Mm-hmm. I met some amazing magicians that are, you know, Harrison Greenbaum, the Derek Hughes. Mm-hmm. And I always loved that they were hustlers.
Yeah.
They always have something in the pot stirring, mm-hmm. and I wanted to be that person. Mm-hmm. And now that's kind of grown, and we become friends, and I still, you know, Derek Hughes wrote a book over COVID. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Harrison Greenbaum just wrote a book.
Yeah.
And it sold out, and it's amazing.
Yeah.
And so they always have something going on, and they're always connecting with other people. So I'd say connect with people mm-hmm. that you like and you admire, but also have strong business principles. And also, in the 1960s, I believe the Navy had a principle called the KISS principle, and it's keep it simple, stupid.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of times people try to over-engineer their business model, but if you want to be a birthday party magician, where do you get birthday parties? Mm-hmm. Where are those people shopping? Usually moms on Facebook. Yeah. So maybe do a marketing ad on Facebook. If you're looking for a corporate sort of event, you go to those hotels, you mm-hmm. talk to bookers, you know, so you've got to kind of think like your target, like what do you want to do and how do I do it and where do I find those? So you got to keep it simple and you got to go to the roots, like where to find those people.
Sounds like it's not about the moves. It's not about the tricks.
It's
about making those connections that are, and having those conversations and being able to, speak to somebody's wants and needs and what you need to fulfill.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. It's not about the show. It's about the advertisement and mm-hmm. how many eyes are on you. Mm-hmm. Murray Sawchuk on Penguin Magic, a shameless plug.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Mm-hmm. He talks about marketing. He mm-hmm. talks about his hair, his suit. And he admits he doesn't have the best show.
Yeah.
But as far as marketing goes, everybody knows Murray Sawchuk.
Yeah.
People rubberneck. They see, they're like, mm-hmm. oh, is that, he is a brand. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what I want to do with Stark Magic, make it a big brand. And even though our shows, they're amazing, but they're not Copperfield.
Yeah.
People will know us in Dallas, and that's kind of what I want.
That's fantastic. Well, Landon, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. Drive fast, take chances.
That's going to do it for this week, kids. Thanks so much to Langdon for being on the show, and thanks to you for listening. Heads up, everyone. I'm going to be back in San Diego at the Prestige Magic Theater and Mystique Dining Lounge June 7th through the 16th. I have some exciting new tricks to show off, and I can't wait to hang out with all the Penguin fans in Southern California. As always, we're a weekly podcast, so be sure to like and subscribe, as well as share your favorite episodes on the social media platform that you are programming your smart house on. If you wanted to reach out to me about anything on this week's show, you're going to have to sneak it inside the Lego kit that looks like the Earth and the Moon orbiting the sun that I just built and motorized. This thing is wild, and I am having the best time teaching my house to do really dumb stuff. But if training your robot house to do nonsense isn't your cup of tea, you can always hit me up on Instagram at Eric Tate. That's at ERIKTAIT from me and everyone else here at the P3 Magic Studios. Practice, practice, perform.